When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome back, folks, to this final between season special episode before we premiere season 17 with the Government Workers special next week. Although that episode is yet to be completed, I can already tell you it's shaping up to be a jaw dropper. But never mind all of that now. I have guests with me this evening. And I've kept them waiting long enough. I knew him first as Reverend Steve Newland on HBO's True Blood, and other hit shows like Hot in Cleveland, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and of course from the podcast Bigfoot Collectors Club. And I was first introduced to our other guest as an amateur Bigfooter in Willow Creek. My wife knows him from Pretty Little Liars. And we all know him from Expedition Bigfoot, and of course, Bigfoot Collectors Club. Please welcome to the show Bryce Johnson and Michael McMillan of the Bigfoot Collectors Club podcast. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Hello.
What's up?
Thank you. Hello, this is Michael.
This is Bryce.
Yeah.
That's an important step a lot of people skip, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is an audio-only show, and we want your listeners to know who's talking.
Want you to know that Bryce is the smart one, and I'm the smart-ass one.
As long as you're both smart. And let's be honest, you guys... people know who you are. I mean, you guys have been in some pretty big projects.
I can think of one very big project we were both part of. Shadows of the Desert.
Shadows of the Desert. High strangeness in the Borrego Triangle.
Oh, that's, man, right. I can't thank you guys enough for being part of that. I tell you what, you guys really upped the production value once
Dude,
I saw what Riley sent
us,
back.
Man, we were honored to get the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. Any excuse to literally to talk about this stuff, we are down, and we're so excited to hear some listener stories from Monsters Among Us listeners.
Well, you guys are in the right place, because I have a whole handful of these things to share with you here this evening. And it sounds like you guys are chomping at the bit, or champing at the bit, as I learned from your podcast.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get started.
You know, I just want to say, I was sort of listening to these phone calls before this, and I just got the most, like, incredible feeling for kind of like what you do. I love, like, gathering these stories of high strangeness, especially from the listeners themselves. You know, we often get emails of stories of high strangeness, but to hear it from the horse's mouth, that's even better.
Yeah.
It's definitely a unique position to be in, that's for sure. A lot of people don't get this opportunity to hear all these stories, especially, you know, bulked together like this.
Yeah, well, it's very cool.
Well, I'm going to introduce you guys to my cool world then, I guess. We're going to start off this evening here out of the state of New York, and this is Alex's entry.
Hi, Derek. This is Alex from Broome County, New York. So back in October, my wife went to the casino for a little bit. She's the type of person who she'll go to the casino with $100 and come back with $5. And this is something she does to relieve stress. So I don't think much of it. She calls me on her way back, and she's in a mild panic, I would say. Her car had died briefly, and there was no traffic on the highway for like 10 or 15 minutes, I think she said. And then her car started back up. like, at this point, her phone had also died, but then it started back up again. And this, I don't want to say it's a well-traveled road, but, like, it's a highway. At the hour she's driving, I've never seen it be empty for that space of time. Like, there's always somebody. So she's calling, and she's kind of panicked, and she stays, like, we stay talking until she gets home for, like, 15 minutes. And so, you know, I'm talking, trying to calm her down, because, well, it's pretty obvious. Like, I'm thinking, like, all right, well, that's weird. That's super weird. She's also thinking it's weird. I don't want to say aliens, but that's not uncommon for cars to lose power in that situation, according to the stories. Anyway, I don't think too much of it until the next morning when I reference what happened last night, and she has no idea what I'm talking about. Like, she thinks I'm pulling her leg. She has no memory of anything weird happening on the drive back. She has no memory of calling me, of talking until she pulled back into the garage. I'm fairly freaking out because, like, am I losing my mind? So I go in and I look at my phone and I check, like, yeah, there was a call here, 15 minutes, October 13th. I know because I just checked it and it's still in my phone. And at this point, like, the hairs on my arms are sticking up. I am freaked. You know, I could easily explain, like, you know, some weird car trouble, just a quiet night on the highway, whatever. But her not remembering any of that, it got me pretty weirded out. That's my story. Thank you, and I hope you can use this. Have a good one.
Well, thank you so much, Alex, for calling in. Gentlemen, you guys are somewhat of alien experts, I believe. You know, I've listened to enough episodes of your show to know that you guys know the whole gamut. Abductions, sightings, planted objects. You guys have talked about everything. What do you think about Alex's wife's situation here? Does this scream aliens to you guys?
This guy's just dying to say it, isn't he? He's just dancing right around, and he wants to say it so bad. He's like, did my wife get taken by a UFO or not? I just need to know, because all the signs are there.
This is one of those situations where, like, being into this stuff might be getting in the way of what really happened. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
This is a tricky one. Bryce, I don't know if you want me to hop in or if you want to go first.
Go for it. Yeah.
This is a tough one because if I were not into aliens, okay, if I were looking at this from a skeptical point of view, and I don't want to call shenanigans on your wife here, okay? But if I were sent to investigate this case, the first thing that I thought of when I heard this was, well, you know, we've all had some fun nights at the casino and can't remember how we got home, okay? And I'm not pointing any fingers here, but we have to rule out any type of human behavior that might lead to forgetting stuff, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Now, she obviously made her way home, and she was cognizant when she made the phone call, and it didn't seem like our caller felt like, you know, she was blackout drunk when she got home, okay? So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and rule that out, but I think it has to just be mentioned. The tricky thing here is, what's the timeline, right? Do we have missing time? Did it take her longer to get home from the casino to the house than it would? She said her car stopped. There was nobody on the road. Her phone died. I want to know how long. I want to know when she thought she left and when she got home. Now, unfortunately, she doesn't have a memory of this, so we don't know. But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is what we're saying here is, what the possibility might be, is that she left the casino somewhere on the way home, car, phone, everything stops. Now, maybe there's no other traffic on the freeway because other cars have maybe stopped. I don't know, right? If we're going to go with the alien hypothesis here. Maybe she was taken aboard a craft. I don't know. And then gets back in, wakes out of that trance, but hasn't fully regained, like, there's still residual effects of the mind wipe happening. Calls her husband, gets home, and then goes to bed and can't remember the night before because there was still mind wipe happening as she was driving home, right? So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is that the alien hypothesis we got going on here?
Well, I would say there's enough evidence here, I think, or at least inkling of evidence to maybe try and get some answers. And the best way to do that, as we say it on our podcast all the time, is she might want to think about getting regressed.
Here it comes, yeah. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, regression therapy is a great tool to sort of access those missing pieces of information that often accompany UFO sightings and missing time. You know, I would say I would play it like this. Wait for a few weeks, maybe even a month or so, because there's often residual dreams after effects of a possible abduction. So if you see of any of those type of markers, then I would sort of pursue the truth further. But, you know, if everything's fine and you have no memory of it, then don't shake a stirring cat, you know?
Is that something people say?
I don't know. I just did.
Bryce likes to come up with his own expressions on our show and your show, apparently. Speaking of shaking animals, my dogs are barking at, I assume, the mailman. Yeah, I would say that's right. A lot of these stories of people who feel like they've been abducted, they have weird dreams, and that's kind of what kicks off, hey, did something actually happen to me that night? The other thing that I would look out for, poltergeist activity in the house. If there's any weird lights, any orbs, any strange poltergeist activity, anything that would fall into that, that often happens in the months to years following an abduction experience. So,
which a lot of people don't realize, but they kind of go together, and man, that's a problem.
Very expensive.
If you're into true stories, and I know you are if you're tuning into this program, well, there's a new show that's actually inspired by Monsters Among Us that I think you'll want to check out. It's called Your Best True Story Podcast. And the idea behind it is they want your scariest, most unbelievable, or funny true story to play on the air. The stories are all in the storyteller's own voice, just like MAU. Your Best True Story is a little more lighthearted and funny in tone than Monsters Among Us. And it covers all sorts of topics, not just the spooky stuff. Although they do love discussing the strange and unusual, and welcome paranormal stories as well. Right now, they're looking for more story submissions, and they collect all types of stories. Whether it's about relationships, survival, or just something hilarious that happened after a few too many drinks. They're even giving away a $250 prize each month for the listener-voted best story of the month. So check out Your Best True Story Podcast wherever you get your podcast, and consider sharing your amazing story with them. Hey, you might be voted the fan favorite and win $250. Just think of all the MAU merch you could buy with your prize money. Again, listen to Your Best True Story wherever you get your podcast. I put a link in the show notes, and don't forget to tell them that MAU sent you.
Is there a
out. That's a good point. Yeah. Now, gentlemen, I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but something we like to do here at Monsters Among Us is sort of compare this to past experiences.
Yes.
Have there been, alien abduction stories out of Broome County, New York, or the surrounding area, possibly? So what I did is I had a researcher dig into this, and Delaney pulled something pretty cool out.
Great.
And I actually went ahead and pre-recorded this. This is a little article about the Broome County alien.
On July 16th, 1964, in the beginning of the afternoon at Conklin, Broome County, New York, five young men were playing in an apple tree along Woodside Avenue when they noticed a strange, dome-like object, shiny like a car's chromium bumper, resting in a field alongside the road, partially hidden by tall weeds. Their attention was then drawn to some sounds similar to someone playing a penny whistle or a kazoo, which they said sounded as if it came from a pipe. The sounds appeared to come from a humanoid creature in a tree about 150 feet away, the whistling sounds appearing to come from the general area of the creature's stomach. They described this creature as about the size of a small boy, estimated to be about 3 feet tall, and dressed in shiny black pants and a black short-sleeve shirt. Its face had a human-like appearance. It had a black helmet on the head, with two antenna-like wires protruding from the top, and white wavy lines or white lettering, identified by the children, across the front. It had a transparent plate or lens covering the eyes, which was part of the helmet. The boys started throwing apples and stones at the creature, but it was out of range. It continued to emit the weird noises. The creature fell backward out of the tree and appeared to fall slowly or float to the ground. The boys asked him if he needed help or water, but the same noises continued with no other response. Three of the boys ran to the Travis home and told Mrs. Udman Travis that they were looking for a jar of water for the spaceman. They told them that they could not understand what he said, but it sounded like he needed water.
So you gotta think, if they were there once, is it possible that they came back?
Why not?
Dude, I love this story. Shiny black pants, shiny black top. This alien was hot.
Cool visor. I love the helmet in this. I love
very German kind of industrial punk or whatever. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I gotta say, just as a sidebar, I love when aliens have a costume on top of their alien form.
Totally.
You know, those are the best kind. You know, you can't. Grays, I get it. I respect them. I love a good alien gray story, but when you slap some uniforms,
give me a space
on these
suit.
Guys, yeah, that's
antennas,
when it gets real, yeah, real interesting. Wild stuff. I mean,
yeah, couple things caught my attention. That sort of falling out of the tree and sort of floating, that's Hopkinsville Goblin stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then asking for water, that's the Joe Simonton pancake case when a UFO landed on his farm in Wisconsin and the aliens asked for some water as they were making, well, what appeared to be pancakes. So there's a couple little parallels in that story. Very interesting. Okay, well, you heard it there, listener. Was it Alex? You may want to have your wife go get regressed, because it sounds like there's precedence for aliens in your area.
And as we always say, if you do go get your regression, you got to call back and let us know, you know, what you learned.
Yeah, oh, please. Know.
Don't forget to tape record those sessions.
Whew. Whew. Yeah. Be careful listening back to those, because a lot of those are terrifying. The Barney Hill alone is scary.
Yeah. Nightmare fuel.
All right, well, thanks again, Alex, for sending that one in. And we're going to hit our next story, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Did you know that your temperature at night can have one of the biggest impacts on your sleep quality? If you find yourself constantly waking up too hot or too cold, check out Miracle Made's bed sheets. Inspired by NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics to make temperature-regulating bedding, so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. The silver-infused sheets also have another purpose. And no, it's not keeping vampires away, although that is an added bonus. They actually prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, which means they stay fresh 3 times longer than normal sheets. They also help prevent acne breakouts caused by poor clogging bacteria. Most importantly, these sheets are super comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands. So head to trymiracle.com/monster to check out the special deal for our listeners. If you order today, you can save over 40%, and if you use promo code MONSTER at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/monster and use code MONSTER to claim your 3 free piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/monster to treat yourself.
Remember the connection.
So this next one comes to us from my home state of Ohio, and actually just down the road from my wife's childhood home there. So, without further ado, Jesse from Ohio, welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. My name's Jesse. I'm calling from Akron, Ohio. I used to work in a Regal Cinemas movie theater, and I was a manager there for a couple of years. It was in the Montrose location, Montrose 12, and there was always a rumor there that it was haunted in some way. People would talk about how, like, rooms would fall over, and, like, they told me all these ghost stories and stuff. And there were always a few like areas that seemed kind of creepy, but I'm a major skeptic, so I never really paid much mind to it. So one night, me and another girl who was another manager were working late. Managers were always the last ones to leave, so we would always get out of there around like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, depending on the schedule. And as we were leaving, we were locking everything up, and we heard something coming from the back hallway. So the way that it was laid out was when you first went in, there was a lobby and then a hallway behind it that ran parallel with the front doors, was where all of our main theaters were. But then an addition had been built on years after it was first put together that intersected. So it was kind of like a T. And the hallway came from the back newer area. So it was just kind of like a bang. We kind of looked at each other and we're like, oh, thank God, you know, glad we heard this now, because if you leave and a person's, you know, using the bathroom or something like that and they set off the alarm, even if you make it all the way home, if you were the managers on duty, you have to go back and walk through the whole building with the police, and it takes like an hour. So we were just like relieved that we heard this person leaving. So we went back and we heard it coming from like the concession area where like the back theaters were, and we didn't see anybody cross over. So we went back to kind of like, you know, make sure everybody got out. And when we got back there, there was no person. So we're like, well, that's weird, because it definitely, like, it was loud. It sounded like somebody, like, kicked the wall. Our doors slammed pretty loudly. It was definitely not, like, a mistaken sound for anything or anything like that. So I'm not thinking anything weird. I'm thinking it's kids running around being stupid. We would kick kids out all the time for running around doing whatever they wanted to do. We checked the bathrooms. Nobody was in the bathrooms. And I went through each of the, there were 4 theaters back there. And I went through each one of them, and nobody was there. So as I come out, the other manager, her name was Ashley, she was standing in the hallway waiting for me just in case, you know, they were in a different theater than I was, or she saw them before I did or something like that. Nobody came out of any of the theaters, and I came out of the last theater finally, and I'm like, you know, there's nobody here. And as I'm about to step out, I'm like, screw it, let's just go home. Maybe they took the emergency exit out the back door. I don't know why they would. There's no parking back there, and you have to walk, you know, 200 meters around the building to get back to where anywhere where a car would be parked. I hear another bang, and the bang came from the first hallway that we were originally in when we heard the noise. So she immediately screams, gets freaked out. I run towards the noise, because at this point, I'm still thinking stupid kids. And there's nothing there. And we were literally right around the corner. It sounded like it was right on the other side of the wall, and there was nobody there. I ran into the theater, nobody there. We went upstairs, we checked the security cameras, and there was never anybody there. So from that point forward, we never left the building by ourselves ever again. Still don't know what the noise was. The only experience I ever had there that was like kind of weird, but it definitely goes along with all the other tales that other people talked about. So hopefully you can use this story. I never got a chance to, you know, verify if, you know, there was a story that a construction person had died and fell off of scaffolding and that's who haunted the theater. I never found out if that was actually true, but I did hear that from my general manager herself, who claimed to be working at the time when it happened. So I don't know. People died in that theater before. It honestly happens more often than you would think. But I think like 3 or 4 people died there while I was there. So, and that was after these hauntings supposedly happened. Yeah, so I don't know. But if anybody else has ever been to that theater, I know you're from Ohio. Maybe there's some people that you know from the area that maybe had experienced something there themselves. But it's definitely creepy. So thanks for letting me share my story.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jesse. Now, gentlemen, I knew you guys well before your podcast as actors in different projects, which we listed in the intro there. So I imagine you have some experience with haunted theaters.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what is that experience? Can you share?
Sure.
Anecdote, maybe?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking live theaters, obviously. But there is a thing about theaters and ghosts that just go hand in hand. A school that I went to for high school, I went to a performing arts academy, and we had a little theater on the lake out in the middle of the woods. I may have told this show on your story before, Derek, so I'll make it brief. But it was haunted by a little girl named Lois Gruno. And objects would be moved around. If you were rehearsing for stuff, you might turn around and a prop you had been using might be on the other side of the set. A friend and I actually saw the image of Lois sitting at the window of the theater of what would have been the girls' dressing room. There were stories about her where this is Michigan, northern Michigan, so the lake that she had allegedly drowned in as a seven-year-old girl, the faculty would be ice fishing out there at night, and they would claim to see a little girl walking across the ice. So, most theaters have ghosts. Now, this is the first time I've heard of a movie theater having a ghost, but considering the surprising fact of how many people I've just learned die in movie theaters, which I guess makes sense. You know,
that was shocking.
You're in a dark space. You're drifting off to sleep. You might not wake up. You know,
I was wondering if people go to theaters to die, like a bear in the woods, like finds a quiet spot, you know, and then just out of everybody's way.
Like the family dog crawls under the porch. For sure. Moments kind of thing. Yeah.
I want to die in this midnight matinee of Pulp Fiction.
Sounds like heaven. So I get it. Why couldn't a movie theater like that be haunted? For me, this is a job for the Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? There's something going on in this theater for sure.
For sure. And what I love about Jesse is that he said it himself. He's a major skeptic. So this is a guy who doesn't want to fits about like trying to get out late. He wants to, you know, lock up and get the hell out of there. So if there's someone fooling around, he's going to find the guy, which he didn't, or gal, which obviously leads me to believe that, you know, Jesse here caught some general phenomena of some banging, some poltergeist activity. So I like this. And yeah, it's interesting. I always hated construction worker death stories because these guys work so hard building our infrastructure. And I always it always just struck a chord when they would, you know, fall off bridges or scaffolding. And anyway, so I don't know. It's a great story. Keep a lookout for that. It makes me kind of want to go in there too and do a little ghost hunt too because he gave the location.
I'm going to be worried about dying every time I go see a movie. I also will say, let's not underestimate the powers of pesky suburban teenagers. Let's just say that as well. You know what I mean?
For sure. Point.
Teens can get away with a lot in the suburbs, so I can't fully discount shenanigans.
Copy.
Well, I do have a bit of good news. We did research, and we couldn't find a construction worker death in this theater or associated with the complex that it's in or anything like that.
That's good.
But we did learn that the theater closed its doors in February of last year. So if you wanted to go investigate, now might be the perfect time.
Ooh, abandoned movie. That. I wonder if they show ghost movies at the movie theater. Like, could you go see are they like showing Roxanne? You know what I mean? Or are they showing like Lost World? You know, movies that have come and gone. I would love that.
Interesting. That's an interesting concept. So you're not talking about the ghosts that haunt the theater, but ghosts of the films that once played
there.
That
once played at the movie theater.
That's a residual haunting for sure, I guess, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, why not?
Very cool. Well, we thank you, Jesse, for sharing that story. And if I make my way back to Cleveland, which I'm sure I will, I'll try to swing by and at least have a look at the outside of that place. Now, gentlemen, I can't have the boys from Bigfoot Collectors Club here with me without sharing some sort of Bigfoot story.
Yes.
And coincidentally, Michael, you just mentioned you're from, or you spent some time in northern Michigan.
That's correct.
And that's where this story takes place.
Love it.
So, Joe, from the state up north, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, Derek. My name is Joe. I recently moved to northern Michigan, not the UP, but the northern lower peninsula. I have a few stories to tell over my couple years up there. My whole life, to be honest. I'm not what everybody calls a knower. I'm more of a believer. I don't have any, direct sightings or anything like that. Just things I've seen and heard without actually seeing an animal or anything like that. My first story is when I first moved up there. Within a week of moving up there, this is big dog man area and all that kind of stuff, but this is a Bigfoot story. I was walking through my property, which is heavily wooded, and all of a sudden, I heard plastic, whoop, Bigfoot whoop. It was one of those supersonic or subsonic things that I never believed in until I felt it. It was like feeling a bass drum at a concert. I could feel it when it whooped, it moved my shirt. You know, one of those kind of things. I can actually feel it. And I've heard it a couple times since, but it's been probably more than a year or two since I've heard it or seen anything in that arena. But it was really strange because, you know, I've got all kinds of animals on my property that the Michigan DNR or the police say they're not in this part of the state anymore, you know, like wolf or mountain lion or something like that. But everybody keeps having sightings. And then, you know, we got the cryptid sightings as well, your dog man and Bigfoot and so forth. But I was wondering if anybody else felt that subsonic burst from a Bigfoot or any other cryptid. I'll keep listening. Thanks. I love the show. Bye.
Well, thank you, Joe, for the phone call. Now, gentlemen, I know you're itching to talk about this, but first we need to talk about, well, infrasound. Now, Joe brings it up as subsonic sounds, but I think he's talking about infrasound, which I have a perfect explanation for, courtesy of Bryce's television show, Expedition Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Infrasound is a powerful, inaudible, low-frequency tone used by large mammals like tigers to ward off animals that have entered their territory. Many eyewitnesses have reported experiencing debilitating illness or paralysis while in the presence of Bigfoot.
Now, those animals include alligators, rhinoceros, elephants, whales. Mm-hmm. You can even get it from, like, volcanoes, avalanches, waterfalls, and thunder. I don't know that any of those would be the cause of Joe's experience here. Gentlemen, what do you think? I mean, what's going on here?
Well, first, I just want to say, Bryce, wonderful job on that voiceover. That was great voiceover work there, buddy.
Thank you. I just trying to imitate my friend Derek there. And no, that's not me, but that is the show, Expedition Bigfoot. Go check it out if you haven't seen it. And, you know, Joe, thank you, man, for your incredible story. You're right. These are subsonic sounds that we really can't pick up. The human ear really only detects frequencies above 20 hertz. So anything below that range is considered infrasound or subsonic in a way. So you're right. And for that to penetrate your chest like that, I mean, that is not a normal animal in northern Michigan, okay? So if something is having that effect on you, then, you know, I immediately go to these cryptids that, you know, are purported to have these same capabilities like Bigfoot. Now, where it gets interesting is, you know, you mentioned Dogman, and I'm starting to wonder if there's any reported cases of Dogman using infrasound. So I like this story very much.
I love the detail of his shirt moving.
Me too.
Vibrating while the sound, or what he said, the whoop, blew my shirt back. That's a great line.
Yeah, that woof. I think he said woof.
Yeah.
That is, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I don't know. I will say, though, that I do think the Department of Natural Resources isn't always up to date with the animals that are in the area, because I remember back home in Kansas City, there was a mountain lion that was walking around north of Kansas City, Parkville area. People had seen it. People had seen it in trees in their yards. You know, we have mountain lions around Los Angeles. And the Department of Wildlife was like, there are no mountain lions here. And people are like, I have literally seen them. So I don't think it's unusual for, and this is, I guess, my opinion, but I don't think it's unusual for wildlife departments to be maybe a little out of touch with some of the animals that might be passing through. Might, you know, a lot of weather, you know, the climate is changing, infrastructure, yeah. You know, there's so much, like, woods are being built into neighborhoods, so who knows what sort of how the impact this has on, like, migratory patterns or, you know, population pushing out animals into other areas. Who knows? I believe him that there are animals out there that he may be told are otherwise. So there's too. But
Michael, I have to push back a little bit. I don't know if mountain lions can produce infrasound.
Oh,
I know
saying,
tigers can.
I wasn't saying they are the cause of this, Bryce.
Oh, I
just
see.
Wanted to back him up and say,
gotcha.
Things are out there you don't know about.
Things are out there. Yes,
yeah,
totally.
Things are out
Got
there.
So. And to Derek's earlier point, too, there are also natural events that can produce infrasonic waves, too. And animals have a way of sort of detecting these, too, like from a tsunami or something like that. But that doesn't sound like what Joe was experiencing. It sounds like Joe had entered something's territory, and he was getting a pushback call.
That's certainly what it seemed like. He went in too far, and it was, hey, buddy, get the hell out of here kind of thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, before we move on, you guys did this to me both times I was on your show. You made me sit down and tell you whether I believed in an phenomenon or thought it was BS.
Yeah, that's so our game. Bullshit or believe it. Yes.
I'm turning the tables here a little bit. I need to hear what each of you think of Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whatever you want to call it, whether or not you believe in it, and what you think it might be, whether or not you think it exists, what you think that creature might be. Michael, I'm going to have you go first.
Well, Derek, having done Bigfoot Collectors Club for over 6 years now, my mind changes like the weather. I do think there's something to the phenomenon. I have no clue what it is. I do think people have seen the entity that is described as Sasquatch or Bigfoot. There are just too many stories for me to think that it's, you know, just a bear or has some logical explanation, just as I think the same about UFOs and ghosts. Now, whether it is a hidden primate living in the forests of North America or if it's some sort of interdimensional being, I do not know. I remain agnostic about it. But we talked about this lately that, you know, I'm open to the idea of Bigfoot being some sort of forest ghost, you know, being some sort of poltergeist activity that happens in the woods.
Right.
I don't know what this thing is, but I think there's something to the phenomenon.
Bryce, what say you?
Yeah. Wow. Excellent point. And I love that. What a great position to be in for your sort of beliefs and ideas about a thing to be malleable and to be able to change. And I too, like Michael, have confronted this phenomenon head on. And I
more so than me.
You could say more so. And I've been stymied at turns as well too. Look, there is a phenomenon at play on this globe. And people, this wild hairy man thing, this archetype, has been in our cultural story now for centuries, if not thousands of years, which in my mind can eliminate altogether it being all hoaxes, hallucination, or misidentification. This character of Bigfoot has been living with us, as well as our indigenous cultures, for so long, and it's been just dying, you know, for us to connect with it, to communicate with it. So what I do believe in Bigfoot in those terms, because people are experiencing something. I've spoken with hunters who've grown up hunting these woods, and when they tell me I was out with my son and I'm talking to both of them and they saw this thing, it's hard for me to say, well, you probably just saw a bear. Or maybe you both were hallucinating on something. I can't do that, right? I have to honor their experience. And I'm willing to do that by stepping outside of the normative box and saying, look, there's mysteries that happen on this planet that we don't understand. And who are we to say, hey, we've got it all under lock and key. We figured it all out. I say, no, there is Bigfoot in the woods.
What is it? What do you think it might be?
Well, that's for a whole other episode.
Fair enough. I can't pin him down. Well, I'll be honest with you. I go back and forth all the time on this subject. Years ago when I first started, I've been doing this for a little over 8 years now. When I first started, there was absolutely no way that this was a real phenomenon. I loved it. I loved the stories. I loved to hear about it. There was no way this could exist.
Yeah.
Then I started to hear from individuals that were talking to me directly. People calling in to the show and people I'd meet out, you know, during different events and that sort of thing. And those stories really started to weigh on me a bit to the point where now today in my mind it has to be something biological, right? It has to be. But somewhere in the back of my mind it's like, well, it's impossible for it to be biological. We would have found it by now. So it has to be something else. And I just tie myself into knots. So anymore, I'm just, you know what? It's a sliding scale. Some days I really think it could be possible. Some days I really think it can't be possible. I think most days I'm right there in the middle somewhere.
You know, I think we just sometimes have to accept, and even though this is hard, a very tough pill to swallow, because obviously the natural inclination is we want answers. And I want answers. Trust me. I would love proof. If someone can prove these things to be real and define what they are, I'd be thrilled. But I think at some point we have to accept that unexplained phenomena, the supernatural, the preternatural, these things are just ultimately part of the human experience here on this planet. And these are things that happen. You know what I mean? People see a 7-foot-tall hairy creature in the woods. Sometimes people look up and they see flying saucers. Sometimes people see images of humans that don't belong there in their house that fade away. What is causing all of this? I don't know that we're ever going
to
know.
Well, as somebody that works in this field, experience. I love the idea that we may never know, because that means I'll continue to work until I'm dead. But on the other side, I never get to solve any of these riddles
exactly.
myself, so that kind of sucks.
Well, I often think about it like this, right? Like, if this is the biggest meal at our dinner table that we're trying to tackle, this subject of the strange, the paranormal, and we're hungry to get at this thing, as soon as we eat it, we're done, we're satiated, and then it's no fun anymore, you know? I think the journey is in questioning this phenomena. It leads you to so many great avenues of exploration. It enchants your life with wonder and mystery, and, you know, you just got to be okay with not having the answers sometimes, because, you know, sometimes it's nice just the foreplay of waiting to eat the food.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, another thing it does is hopefully it keeps you open-minded as well, as
Agreed.
Long as this information continues coming in.
The series hit a little... And now...
Well, gentlemen, what do you say we move on to our next story of the evening here? And, you know, when I have guests on, I like to cater the calls their direction if I can. And with you guys, it's easy because I'm a big fan of your show. My wife and I listen on road trips, so I feel like I know you guys pretty well. So tonight, I'm going to pull a call about a Disney park, because I know, Michael, you are a Disney man. Is that right?
Hell yeah. I love the Disney parks. Yes, absolutely. In fact, I just sent
six
over
page.
A
no, six
what about
page
a 4 or 5 page
to my wife's
document?
Sister.
6-page document that my fiance and I wrote for Bryce's in-laws who are visiting.
I almost didn't listen
now
to this call, Derek.
My fiance
because I heard
and I crafted an itinerary for them.
Yeah, I
so
almost
I'm
didn't
a
listen
big,
to this call because I heard
Disney
Disney,
parks
and I was like, oh, that's for Michael.
Well, I got one for you, Bryce, coming up. Don't
okay,
worry.
Great.
But first, let's hear from James in the state of Texas.
Hey, Derek. James from Texas. Just got back from Florida. Took the family to Disney World. And in the room we were staying in, the room is in the All-Star Movies Resort. It's room, actually 1830 is the room. We stayed all week. While we were there, and I was at a conference the first part of the week, so my wife and son were there, and then I came in after that. My wife told me when I got there that she says, there's a lot of noises in this room. She says, it's kind of odd at nighttime. She said, the feeling is just weird. And I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, it's a hotel. It's an older hotel in the Disney World chain, and so, you know, I'm sure, whatever, whatever. Anyway, that first night, I was laying in bed and listening, and sure enough, man, I kid you not, there were knocks and pops all over this room. And, you know, typically you'll get some knocks and pops as the room cools down, you know, temperature changes, barometer changes, etc. But this happened literally at random all night long. And what made it weird was that it wasn't just coming from one area or two areas. Like, it was coming from every corner of the ceiling. It was coming from the corners of the floor. It was coming from the wall. It was coming from the door. It was coming from everywhere, like just random little knocks. And it wasn't just like a pop sound. It was like a knock, knock, knock type of situation. Very, very odd. Honestly, we didn't sleep all that great the rest of the week. We were there for a few more nights. But anyway, had to share it to you, man. Maybe some little spooksters at Disney World in the All-Star Movies Resort. But anyway, love the show, buddy. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, thank you, James, for calling. All right, Michael, what do you think
well,
of James'
being the
story
good
there?
Little Disney boy that I am, I heard this call, and I actually have done a little research for you guys.
Ooh.
James is not... James, correct?
Yes.
James is not the first person to experience a similar phenomenon at the All-Star Movie Resort. I found at least one other eyewitness account on a forum WDWMagic.com, WaltDisneyWorldMagic.com. There is a user, Patsy, who reported that she and her husband stayed in 2017 at the same hotel. They experienced, he was talking to her, and over her shoulder in the reflection of the mirror in the bathroom, he saw the shower curtain being pulled up into the air and dropped. And if this doesn't make give you the shivers, let me read right here. We settled into bed after a long day at Epcot to watch a little TV and try to calm down. That is when we heard a strange knocking noise coming from the bathroom.
No.
He got up to look, and again, no reason he could see for the noise, but I felt we could ride it off to thin walls and noisy neighbors. We finally get to sleep. I woke up around midnight to what I thought was my husband getting up to go to the bathroom. I reached over, and my husband was still in bed next to me. The sound I heard was a shuffling sound on the carpet, again near the bathroom, about 3 or 4 steps. It freaked me out. I woke up my husband. We both laid in bed and listened, but all was quiet. Somehow we got to sleep again. Then, around 3 a.m., I woke up to use the bathroom. As I was laying in bed adjusting my eyes to the darkness, I heard the damn shuffling again. More steps. They said, needless to say, we did not get enough sleep. We didn't sleep for the rest of the night. And they, too, could not find any explanation for what was causing these sounds. There are other reports from people who have seen dark figure. Now, this was the same hotel. This
Crazy.
Was in room 2903. It was a Mighty Ducks themed room, which I love that detail. But there are other hotels that report activity. People have seen shadow beings in their rooms. I think this backs up, obviously, yes, the heat, the humidity, all that stuff. But I think this backs up James's experience that they might have been dealing with some supernatural phenomenon. Look, Walt Disney World is built on a swamp. It's primordial land. It's been around for a very long time. I think there's a lot of energy out there. I think Florida is strange for a number of reasons. So it's a heightened place. You know,
yes.
I think that we like theaters, like movie theaters. You know, that's something that we didn't mention. Those are places where intense emotional experiences
right.
happen as well.
True, yeah.
And so I think where you have
how could they
areas
close Splash Mountain? How could they close Splash Mountain? I came out here from New York.
You jest, but I guarantee you there that those conversations have happened.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I think that, you know, these points on maps do attract not only people but energy and spirits as well. So there you go. I think we got another case for the Ghostbusters here.
Well, I'll add on to that. Actually, it came out a few years ago that I guess it was confirmed. We all already suspected that this was the case, but people scatter ashes all the time.
Oh,
in,
yeah,
the Disneyland parks.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
To the point where it's a problem there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now
so,
you know, people die in theaters and people scatter their ashes at Disneyland and Disney World.
But people die at Disneyland and Disney World as well.
They do.
Yes,
there's
right.
a couple of deaths every
they
year.
They absolutely right. do. And, you know, they just like to keep it quiet, you know, because they can't have the happiest place on earth also be the place where, you know, sad things happen. But they do.
Grandma Tilly died.
I wonder if they have a death chute like Waverly.
I'm sure they I doubt they have a death chute, but I bet you they have a protocol to get people to get bodies out of hotel rooms without anyone noticing.
Kind of a Weekend at Bernie's mm-hmm. situation.
Right. They just
Mickey
put,
and
they
Minnie
just put them in a they
yeah.
put them in goofy suit.
Yeah, they put
them
in a goofy suit.
They're
like, why does that Goofy look drunk?
Oh, he always looks drunk, so that's the perfect
yeah,
character.
Right.
Isn't it? I love it. Well, you know, it's a magical place, but it's also can be a creepy place. You know, I spend a lot of time at Disneyland. I live right, you know, down the road just like you guys do. And it can be creepy there
yeah.
from time to time, especially at night when it's sort of empty and, you know, if the weather's a little off. It's definitely both types of magic there at the park.
If people are interested, we did a full episode on Haunted Disneyland and a full episode on Haunted Disney World on our Patreon, BCC The Other Side. So check out patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club if you want to hear those.
I will try to link to those in the show notes, in fact.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Let's move on to Bryce's special call of the evening, but first, a word from our sponsors.
We are desperately looking for ways.
And it's no reasonable possibility.
Okay, Bryce, so I have a call I've designated for you. Now, over the years of listening to BCC, I've gained that you're a bit of an Elvis man.
Oh, yeah.
So I pulled a call from Graceland, of all places. Ooh. So Rebecca from Massachusetts, welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. My name's Rebecca. I'm calling from central Massachusetts. I'm calling about a little weird technological phenomenon that my sister and I recently experienced on our trip to Memphis, Tennessee. It was around April, mid-April of this past year, 2023. What happened was we were staying at the guest house at Graceland, like their newer hotel, really beautiful, modeled after the Graceland estate, which was Elvis Presley's estate. Memphis itself is pretty spooky, has a lot of spooky history. We actually went on a ghost tour and didn't see much. We had some EVP equipment that the tour guide brought with us. We were kind of disappointed that we didn't catch anything. But that night we went back to our hotel room. We were sharing a room and it was around roughly 3 o'clock in the morning and the TV turns on and is blaring Elvis Presley and it freaked us out. My sister goes, "What should I do?" And I just said, "Turn it off." So we went back to sleep. And then about the next day, we go about our day, do our stuff, come back to the hotel room. Nobody came to clean our room because we had the do not disturb sign on. We didn't really need it. We were only there for a couple days. And again, the TV is on, blaring Elvis Presley. And I'm starting to get a little freaked out. My sister's like a little weirded out. So I decide to do an experiment, because the remote had been on the dresser right near the television, and I decided to put it in a drawer and just say out loud that we're kind of done with that. And it didn't happen again for the rest of our short stay there, but it was just kind of like a weird thing. Didn't seem malicious. It was more kind of funny because my sister and I obviously love Elvis. So it was kind of an interesting thing to happen two separate times. My relative, when I told them that, was kind of like, "Well, did the TV have a timer on it to turn on?" And I said, "No, we didn't press any buttons on the remote. We didn't even really turn the TV on at all." So this is kind of a weird thing, but just want to say thank you. And I really love your show. I've been listening for a while. So hope you have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca. Now, Bryce, I realize this isn't Graceland proper. This is on the property, I suppose. I'm not
That's
too familiar
okay.
with it down there. But what do you think? I mean, Graceland, is it haunted? Is it haunted by Elvis? What's going on down there? I assume you've been there.
Oh, I have. And, oh, my God, speaking of magical places. Yeah, I'm a huge Elvis fan. Rebecca, I love this story for several reasons. This idea. Well, first of all, you know, we've heard a time tonight twice, if not three times, and that's 3 a.m. I don't know if your audience picked up on that, but this seems to be a time of high strangeness. We hear it over and over again. It's almost as if the veil gets lifted around that time. The window gets a little bit thinner. And I love this idea that Elvis is trying to communicate with you guys, or at least the phenomenon is trying to engage with you through the filter of Elvis Presley. So I love this. You know, it's so funny, too, that you mentioned, because when I'm sort of on location and I leave my room, I always turn my TV up so it seems like someone's in my room, you know? And and I never really get maid service either. So I don't know. I just picked up on that. I thought it was funny, like I was if I was directly linked to your story somehow. But, you know, if you're interested in Elvis, we covered an entire week called Elvis Lives on our main feed, Bigfoot Collectors Club. And we talk about the spiritual side of Elvis. He was a real spiritual seeker, and he had a come to Jesus moment on his tour bus, which is an incredible story. Anyway, maybe you want to check that out to learn more about that. But thank you for calling into Derek's show. Oh, I love Elvis, and I'm sure a lot of your fans do too out there.
Now, you know, I did a little digging on this because I didn't know a lot about Elvis, especially paranormal Elvis. You know, I did listen to that special you guys did on him. I think it was last summer, maybe something like that. So I looked up a few places where his ghost is also seen, and catch this list. Of course, you have Graceland, but you also have the Las Vegas Hilton, which I think he performed there, the Knickerbocker Hotel in L.A., RCA Studios in Nashville, and there's actually a Pizza Hut in Memphis, Tennessee that is said to be haunted by Elvis. And get this, what happens?
We got to go to the haunted Pizza Hut.
What happens there is his songs just randomly play on this jukebox.
The jukebox
isn't programmed to play randomly or anything like that. So I read a report, and it's actually in the show notes if you guys want to check it out, where these people were visiting Memphis. They went to the Pizza Hut. They were just sitting around talking, and everybody got a weird feeling. And suddenly Heartbreak Hotel starts playing in the next room or whatever. And so they all go and look at the jukebox, and it's plugged in, but it's not programmed to play anything. There's not a lot of Elvis on there, I guess. And they asked the waitress, like, hey, you know, does this happen all the time? And this has never happened once, is her response. So.
Whoa.
And, you know, I didn't think about this until just now, but I believe in that episode, Bryce, you might have told this story where something strange happened the night Elvis was born. Do you remember that?
Yes, he was. He was accompanied by this flashing light. He was born with a twin, Jesse Garin, who died at birth, stillbirth. But his father, Vernon, recalls the house being sort of engulfed in this light, which
blue
is
light,
so strange.
Wasn't it?
A
and
blue
a
light, which
in
is
the
so
sky?
Strange. Yeah, really weird.
I need to call my mom and see if the same thing happened to me when I was born.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, for sharing that story. I got to make my way down to Graceland. You know, I'm not a massive Elvis fan like Bryce is, but you got to respect the guy, and Graceland just seems pretty damn cool.
It is so cool. It's like it never left a day from the 70s. I mean, it is literally a vestige to how he liked to live.
The Jungle Room, right?
Mm-hmm. He recorded a whole album in there. It has fur carpet on the ceiling. It's awesome.
Okay, gentlemen. Well, I have one more call to share here this evening. And what I like to do with the last entry when I have guests on, which isn't all that often, but when they do come on, I like to dig an old call up from a past episode, like 5-6 years ago. Some of these calls didn't get the audience that they do today, so I want to try to put a little focus on some of my favorites, I guess. And this one came to us, it was season 4, episode 18, and it was submitted by Alan in the state of Arizona.
Good afternoon, Derek. Recently found your podcast and love the format. The story I'd like to tell you about was when I was 8 years old, so it was to be back in right around 1981. My grandparents lived in a small town in southeastern Arizona called San Simon. My granddad worked on a ranch there, and in the summer times, me and my younger sister would stay for a couple weeks during the summer, basically just hang out with my grandparents. Well, it had been a particularly hot summer, and it was just as the monsoons were starting in Arizona. One premise was me and my sister had gotten into a fight earlier that day, and she had locked herself in the spare bedroom where we were sleeping. So I was stuck sleeping outside in the living room with my granddad. My granddad, Jake, was pretty much an old cowboy, and at night he would sleep with all the windows open in a single wide trailer that they stayed in. Well, earlier that day I had gone fishing and had caught a bunch of small bluegill and had them in a bucket outside and had them sitting under the old swamp cooler where the water leaked into it. It was early in the morning, I want to say 3 or 4, and I heard something scramble underneath the trailer, kind of scaring me, waking me up. I was looking around. Well, I could hear something splashing around in the bucket. It was outside. And as I looked out through the open window, I saw a small figure sitting underneath of the swamp cooler frame. And it kind of freaked me out, so I dropped back down. And then as time went on, I could hear like a chewing sound. Finally, I got enough courage, and I went back to the window and looked down again, and it was a small figure, like I said, bald head, wearing like an animal fur wrapped around its waist, and it was eating the fish out of the bucket. Only reason I could see it was fairly clear, a few clouds, thunder and lightning off in the distance. Well, there was a shop about 100 yards away from the trailer that had a outside light, and it had just enough light to illuminate the side of where we're at. Well, as it looked up, it saw me, and then just like in a nonchalant way, put one finger to its lips and did a shhing sound. Well, that freaked me out. I fell down on the ground, crawled in the corner, and stayed awake until the next morning. The next morning, I threw a fit to be taken back home with my sister, and that was the last time we spent a summer with my grandparents in San Simone. Love your show. Love the format. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Alan, for calling. Now, gentlemen, I know you love the humanoid stories. You cover them constantly on your program. What do you think of Alan's entry?
Bryce, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, sure. well, Bluegill and Grandpa Jake made me think of Red Dead Redemption, which I'm playing a lot of right now. And how cool is it that this guy puts his bucket of bluegill under his swamp so that it drips water and it keeps it fresh? Love it. The bald and wearing furs? What the F, dude? Yeah, this one is super creepy. When you get these sort of humanoid things and they're wearing furs and they seem like wild men of the woods, it's sort of like I don't know what to do with it, because I want to say, like, this sounds like a Bigfoot thing, but it's clearly not. Michael, what do you think?
I think, to me, now, just like doing a little light googs here on my phone, you know, to me this sounded like a little people story. And I know that a lot of indigenous nations have stories about little people that, you know, live in tandem with humans, may live underground. They're kind of like opposite of Bigfoot, right? And I don't know. So from what I can gather, it seems that this area, the nation that was indigenous to the area, one of them is the Tohono O'odham people. And I can't find any specific lore about little people. But in general, there are stories of Native tribes talking about a race of little people that are sometimes tricksters or will show up as distractions. But one of the things that they do is they will come get your food at night. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, I mean, this kind of rings that bell for me. Also, who knows, could be just a regular human or tiny human who is living out in the desert and taking advantage of all the resources that are there. Might be hard for a little boy to wrap his brain around, you know, seeing, because it's sort of a paradigm, burster for somebody who's like, wait, could there be a little person just living out in the desert here and scavenging for food? So that's a possibility. But there's lore. There's lore that supports this type of phenomenon. So I'm not sure.
Well, speaking of that lore, I've received, I don't know, maybe half a dozen, a little more than that, calls about these little folk over the years. And from my observation, a majority of them came from California, and if not, Nevada and Arizona. So it's sort of that south, extreme southwest area. I don't know if there's any correlation there, if it's a coincidence. Of course, not every one of them came from there, but a majority of them. I would say probably 6 out of 7 or something like that.
The Catskill Mountain Range has a lot of those stories in areas around there, north of there in Canada. And then, yes, in California, especially in like around Big Sur. They talk about little trickster people that will push you off a cliff if you're walking too close. And it could be just a way to warn people, hey, don't walk too close to the cliff's edge here, because you will fall. You can fall and die. But that was one of the things that there are like shadow giants and shadow mini people living in the mountains out there on the central coast of California.
And what makes these a little bit different from, I know you guys both kind of compared them to Bigfoot a little bit, but what seems to differentiate these creatures from the Sasquatch creature is the clothing, I would say.
Yeah.
Sure, you hear about Bigfoot wearing a flannel shirt or something from time to time, but it's not the same. It's not wearing furs, you know, like these things are almost always reported to be wearing like birch bark clothing that they made, or a piece of rabbit skin or something like that. That's always what they're reported wearing.
Yeah, something also popped up when I was looking at this, that sometimes they're called hairy dwarves too. You know, and then that reminds me of the hairy dwarves of Venezuela UFO encounter, where two guys were in their truck on a job and, you know, ran into a classic flying saucer, and two half metal, half hairy dwarf humanoids tried to attack them and they got away. So I don't
this
know.
Stuff happens, people.
It happens. It happens. But yeah, I think there's a couple columns the story could fall into. You know, my gut is like, maybe just a person living out there who's scavenging. But you know, it's a great story, and it's got to be so creepy to witness as a kid.
I can only imagine. Yeah, and to eat your fish. I mean, that guy, poor Alan, he fished all day to catch the bucket full of bluegill, and they're gone.
I like that's super creepy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was Did not
that
like
suggests
that
some
part.
Sort of language, right? Mm-hmm. And how would it know that that's like a human gesture?
Yeah.
So that may speak to what you're saying
and
there.
And some
Michael,
of the
that
stories
could be a person.
That I heard, they talked about how, like, with Apache tribes and their little people, that sometimes they would hear them speaking like an older version of the language that no longer exists. So I don't know. Mm. I have no clue. But yeah, the gesture, I mean, the finger to the lips, that's a learned behavior trait. So that's very human to me, you know.
Yeah.
So that also indicates this might just be a person.
Well, a person or a creature, whatever it is, it's terrifying. And I absolutely yeah. love that story.
It's
and
great.
I was excited to dig that one back up. So thank you for humoring me there. Well, gentlemen, I'm out of calls for the day. So if you want to plug, of course, BCC, let everybody know where they can find that. But if you have anything else going on, I know you guys are constantly working. Let's hear it.
Yeah, that's it. Bigfoot Collectors Club every Wednesday on the same podcast app that you're listening to this on right now. And like I mentioned before, we also have a Patreon, BCC The Other Side, over at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club. We do 3 bonus episodes every month. And then our top tier for under 10 bucks, you can get ad-free episodes and 3 bonus music tracks by our producer, Riley Bray, who also is a wonderful musician and who scores all of our episodes and Stories of High Strangeness with awesome music tracks. So check it out.
Cool. And yeah, and if you guys want more Bigfoot, I do another show about Bigfoot. It's on Discovery. It's called Expedition Bigfoot. All 4 seasons are available there now, as well as Max. So go check it out.
Well, thank you guys so much. And of course, go check out BCC. Go check out Expedition Bigfoot. And if you like what you hear, definitely join the Patreon. That's the best way to help us independent podcasters.
Hell yeah.
Agreed.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me. I always enjoy our conversations. Thanks for working this in.
Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure was ours, Derek. Thank you.
Anytime.
And thank you, MAU audience. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we love you guys.
And gals.
We're part of you guys. We love the show, so we're so excited to be here.
Go check out BCC. And another big thanks to the gentlemen at Bigfoot Collectors Club for stopping by. And folks, my little hiatus is officially over, but I'll catch you back here next week with the Government Worker Special to kick off Season 17. Be sure to tell all of your friends. Now, Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of Fair Use and copyright Red Crow Media. Now, tonight's score was provided by Co.AG Music and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now, folks, there is no New Beyond episode tonight, but keep your eye open. I have something robust coming your way in the next few days. Until then, thank you for tuning in. Keep it spooky out there. And I'll catch you all back here this time next week. Have a good night.